I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com/support. This program may contain strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Animation Podcast. I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Starr. With me is the hard man with hard opinions, AFLM.
Hi.
And our king baby duck, Evan.
G-Spot rocking the G-Spot.
And Elite Four, Derek.
What is that? Sorry, I'm wearing a mask.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Which one, G-Spot rocking the G-Spot or the mask?
Yeah.
This isn't a podcast for talking about where the G-spot is.
Well, you know what? Let's just start with that. Why not just start with that news and we'll move on? Because so this is Wicked Animation. So we're going to be this for all of our listeners. We're going to be more of a whole into the West sort of thing, but it's going to be an integrated mix because anime is a part of animation. So we'll be talking about everything that is animation. And
at this point, I'm still not sure whether you're going more towards masks or G-spots.
Okay, so why G-Spot rocking the G-Spot?
So, finally. So, there's been a lot of news about some shows returning. So, the first one that I want to talk about is that Phil Lord and Chris Miller have finally accomplished their main goal of their careers, bringing back Clone High.
Yes, one of the greatest shows of Canadian television that barely anybody saw because nobody watched MTV during that era. Clone High is one of the greatest shows, one of the greatest animated shows ever made. And so just a quick rundown of the premise. I think we've talked about it on the show before, but a quick rundown of the premise. Way back in the 1980s, secret government employees dug up famous guys and ladies. And now those clones are sexy teens now. And they're all going to high school in Clone High. That's the theme song, by the way. So like the main character is Abe Lincoln, and he's a just gone through puberty, very tall, awkward kid. And his
played
best
by Will Forte, by the way,
played by Will Forte, and his best friend Gandhi, who has ADHD, played by Michael McDonald. And then Abe's childhood friend slash wants to be his girlfriend, Joan of Arc, who is a goth. Such an amazing, amazing, amazing show. And we have
and
the chance
Abraham
to have
Lincoln
it.
Has a crush on Cleopatra.
What's that close to the gothic era? That might be a player, call on a play on words.
Well, And the whole idea of the show is it's basically a lampoon on Degrassi.
Yeah.
Because Degrassi was a Canadian high school drama show, and that's basically what they made fun of the entire show was Degrassi.
Yeah. So like every time they talk about what the next episode is going to be, next time on a very special Clone High.
We should also make the point too that Bill Lawrence, the creator of Scrubs, is also a co-creator of the show too.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is they had a better run of this than Little Hitler on Comedy Central.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they did. You're not by the way, Little Hitler was Robot Chicken. You're thinking of Little Bush.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Honestly, did better than both of those, right?
Yeah. Did better than both of them.
Did better than both.
So it's an amazing, amazing, amazing show. And if anybody can find the 13 episode run on DVD, which you still can find, I believe. I don't believe it's out of print. Like, do yourself a favor and buy yourself a copy, because I think Andrew and I personally have watched through the entire series at least 100 times. It's just so watchable.
Yeah, and quoted it all through college.
We should make the point, too, that it has some amazing guest stars, too. Like, Marilyn Manson shows up to sing about the food groups, and it's just the, one of the greatest moments in TV history.
It is.
Michael J. Fox shows up for literally one line.
Yeah,
and he was a guest star.
He's Gandhi's right kidney.
Yep.
And, yeah.
I have a question for when we finish this. It's a hypothetical, but it would be, who is your favorite celebrity cameo in any random animated series?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a great question.
That is a good question. Oh,
but yeah. So the show is so quotable, and they ended 13 episodes on a cliffhanger because they were expecting to get a season two, but the show was canceled, was not picked back up for another show. But man, is it so great, so great.
If you look in the movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2, you see a billboard in the background for Clone College. And who knows? Maybe that's what it's leading up to.
Oh, my gosh. If they did Clone College, that would be so amazing. But really, though, I feel like they should pick up where they left off, because the season one was such a cliffhanger. Like, when like they leave it on the cliffhanger that Abe Lincoln is like, "But I love you." And then he says both Joan and Cleo's name at the same time. And then it cuts to credits. Yeah. So, and that was the last episode of the series. And then, of course, the greatest celebrity in Clone High, who is the villain, who is JFK. And, you know, he's just the like totally obnoxious high school jock with the greatest Boston accent ever. Nothing ever bad happens to the Kennedys.
Hey, get off my dinghy. Not you, sweet.
Not
Jake.
You. Actually, Christine and I often so there's this part which we don't refer to, like when we say the line, but there's this part where they're at a party and JFK asks Joan, is like, "So are you too drunk to sleep with me?" And then Joan kicks him in the face, and then he goes, "Answer the question."
Yeah.
Christine and I throw that line at each other all the time.
Well, it's because with me and my buddy Victor would also say that to each other all the time. We're just going to answer the question.
Answer the question. Yeah.
I remember, what was the evil scientist, Bitterman? The episode that I always think of is the one where it's him against a squirrel, and the squirrel's catchphrase was just, "Try and catch me, bitch!"
Yeah.
Oh, it was Skunky.
Why, Skunky? Why?
And then after that, there was, "You got crabs, ass face!"
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a gold mine. That show is gold mine. So there was another show too that you should mention was just announced for a spin-off series.
Yes. So the second show, Mission Hill.
Oh my gosh, Mission Hill.
Yes. Mission Hill was so amazing. That was a show that like really broke barriers and boundaries when it came to just not just network adult cartoons, but network TV in general.
Yep. I think without Mission Hill, even though it was canceled, a show like Family Guy could never have gotten off the ground, which really stinks, because Mission Hill is very clearly the better of the two shows,
right?
Like, hands down. But there, I have so much animation history to nerd out about this show. First being that it was the last show in animation history that was hand painted by Cells
in watercolor as well. All the background shots are done in watercolor.
Yeah. Another interesting piece of history was it was the first animated gay kiss was there as well.
One of the very first things you actually see in the show.
Yeah.
"What? We made out."
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why I bring that up, especially, is because the spinoff series is about that couple, right? Is that what you had mentioned? And they're awesome characters in the show.
There isn't a
third one, Derek. There's no third reason.
Granted, after remembering that part, I ironically got Clone High and Mission Hill mixed up with the what? You too good to be gay like your old man?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. That's in Clone High. Yeah. So I
feel bad about interrupting, so I like that you guys are picking up on my miming.
But Mission Hill was a great show. So that one is a show about this little brother who is so smart. He's a middle schooler, I believe, who is going to high school.
He's in high school.
But he's like jumped a couple grades because he's so smart. But now he has to go live with his out of college deadbeat brother who lives in Mission Hill of an unknown city.
Right.
Cartoons.
And I believe the brother is voiced by Scott Menville, who also went on to do the voice of Robin on Teen Titans.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. And
wait, Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go?
Both.
Same thing.
Hey, okay. Didn't know it actually.
Yeah, the same voice cast from Teen Titans as Teen Titans Go.
That's actually, just a side note, the entire cast of Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go is exactly the same. They didn't change a single voice.
That's really surprising to me. Because
yeah. No.
They dumped one and rebooted it.
No, they did. They changed one voice. They changed the voice of Slade.
Oh, yeah, because they couldn't get Ron Perlman. So now it's Will Arnett.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So, one of the funny things about that era of animation as well, also mixing both Clone High and Mission Hill, is you had Michael McDonald, Nicole Sullivan in Clone High, and then in Mission Hill, you had Mo Collins, all Mad TV cast members.
Oh.
Yeah, you also had Brian Posehn too.
But yeah, Brian Posehn was in there.
That was my second favorite character. Was him? Yep.
The theater at the college I went to is named after him. I'm pretty sure Brian Posehn.
Really?
Wait, no. One of the original Mad TV alumni. Oh shoot, Brian. I gotta look this up again. one of the original alum from the Mad TV show actually went to Salem State.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Frank Johnson? No. Oh, God. Where's my phone? Frick.
Go find this. I'm actually interested in finding this out. Probably lesser to people who didn't watch.
Multiple times, right?
Right. But it was a really interesting time, that era, with Mission Hill and Clone High. Because then you also had some other shows like The Oblongs, who had like Will Ferrell in the cast.
Yeah.
And you also had Baby Blues, which had Michael Malley in the cast. So you had like these great, but sadly short-lived cartoons who were voiced by like people who would go on to like make these amazing career choices.
Yeah, which is really sad because these cartoons were actually better shows than what we have on TV right now, or back in the day when those shows were on. Derek, you figured it out?
Brian Callen, the Callen Music Theater of Salem State University, was named after Brian Callen.
You're kidding me. Okay. Do I remember Brian Callen? I got to look up Brian Callen now because I know that.
Fast.
Yeah. I miss those shows. So I'm really happy that there's this resurgence of bringing back old shows that should have been on the air all along.
Yeah, because there's those two. Kevin Smith has announced that he is currently shopping a Clerks reboot cartoon as well.
Yeah.
He has said that if Hulu passes on it, then he'll shop it off to anybody else. Even Netflix has shown interest in bringing back the Clerks cartoon. But like Disney has to like make the first like pass.
That would be so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Just curious, are there any series that, in like popular opinion, people want to be rebooted, but we have serious objections towards?
That is, wait, so series that people want rebooted, but we do not want rebooted, or we don't think is necessary, or shows that we want rebooted, but other people won't?
First option.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that already happened.
I wish
happened,
we could have
like
said Thundercats.
Yeah. So you
already up to this point, but you know.
Yeah, like Thundercats, She-Ra, He-Man, Masters of the Universe. Even though like that one might be good because Kevin Smith is behind it, okay. but I don't know if it will be good because Netflix is still involved. And let's see. Then there was a third one. Voltron. Voltron started out as good, and then it kind of fizzled out at the end.
I felt like with Voltron, I did really enjoy the first few seasons of it, but like you could kind of tell they were like running out of ideas like quickly during the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. I should probably throw that show in the background while I work because I don't need to pay attention to it as closely.
Something I would have liked to see rebooted, aside from the fact that they've just constantly kept trying to reboot it multiple times, has been, what if Power Rangers just went on a hiatus and disappeared for 10, 15 years, and then we tried to bring it back?
Yeah.
Do you think we'll actually make a good product out of Power Rangers at that point?
So they tried the dark, gritty reboot Power Rangers in America, and it was the okayest.
Dark Gritty. Are you talking about the mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers? Because then I am all in.
Gritty.
Oh my gosh. Could you? No. Could you imagine like different colored Gritty Rangers? Oh.
Holy shit.
So, Kamen Rider has a show like it's not beyond the realm of possibility because Kamen Rider has like transformations of, you know, like pirates and fruit and all sorts of really weird things.
Bugs.
Yeah, bugs. So hockey mascots, maybe, I guess. By the way,
all right, how about this one?
Sign up fully for the Gritty Rangers. Yeah. Like at least 3 episodes of it, and then it can get canceled. That's okay, but I need to see more than one.
Okay. I just thought of a show from like the 90s that it could be a good reboot, but deep down, I know they might mess it up. Duckman.
Oh, okay.
Is that the one with Jason Alexander?
Yes.
Alexander?
Yes, yeah. That's the one, Jason Alexander.
Okay, I never saw Duckman. I know Duckman, of it.
Duckman, like, paved the way for, like, adult animation. Like, Rick and Morty wouldn't exist because of the way that Duckman's humor was, with it being so fast-paced. Like, it was one of those shows, like, it was just one joke after another and another and another and another and another. Like, it was one of those shows you had to watch over and over again to get every single gag that was being thrown at you. And it was brilliant because of it. Not to mention the social commentary it delivered every single time. Like, it really played well to people's common senses, while at the same time giving a middle finger to, like, concepts like political correctness and participatory trophies and the like.
Yeah. Cool. I knew that
today.
I think one other show that does come to mind that I think would be, it would work really well because it could absolutely bash on how shitty Hollywood has become, The Critic.
You know what? I kind of had a feeling that show was going to come up in conversation. I don't know why, but like that's with John Lovitz, right?
John Lovitz is Jay Sherman. Honestly, I remember more about The Critic than the best episodes of The Simpsons.
I feel like everything that involves Jay Lovitz is always very questionable. It's like, well, it's good, but...
Hey, never question Rat Race. That's one of the greatest films.
Rat Race is one of the greatest movies ever.
That's Hitler's lipstick.
Watch it more than once, and
I've seen that movie 1,000 times, and it's funny every single time.
Was it because cable TV forced it down your face?
No,
it's in theaters.
We saw it in theaters, and I own it on DVD, and I watch it at least once, at least once in a while. Okay, it's a fantastic film, and I could actually write an entire like essay on why it's a fantastically structured film and why it's so loved.
I could fly over the moon, but why haven't you done that yet?
I think my favorite part in that film is when it's Rowan Atkinson and Wayne Knight and they're driving together and like he's got the heart that he's got to deliver.
Yeah. I don't know. The best, I think the best joke that's set up in movie history is the part where they steal Hitler's car and then they end up crashing at the World War II Veterans Memorial. That part is just so damn funny that like it never, ever gets old.
So like he accidentally flips off the lesbian biker, cigarette lighter goes into the mouth, lipstick goes right over yeah. the lips, crashes into there, and then when he comes out and tries to explain his,
because he burnt his mouth with a cigarette lighter, yeah, and oh my gosh, like so, it's so good.
Yeah.
And then the parts with
and it would be great animated.
I would watch a rat race cartoon, but actually, you know what? I actually want to retract that statement because it didn't work with a show like Napoleon Dynamite.
I disagree. I really enjoyed the Napoleon Dynamite cartoon.
I thought it was funny, but it fizzled out so fast, and I think for a very rightful reason. I did think it was funny. Don't get me wrong, but
it's the same reason why I don't think Robot Chicken is funny. Like Robot Chicken has good jokes, but I'd rather see their jokes.
Derek, I'm back.
Derek, don't leave. Don't leave us. but I would rather see their jokes and their writing done in live action.
You know what? It's funny that you say that because now I'm thinking of the Robot Chicken bit where they did Napoleon Bonaparte, but with the Napoleon Dynamite cast. And I think it's
done still with video cameras and clay.
Done.
That's live action, or I'm sorry, stop action, but closer to live action than it is animation.
So
yes, Derek.
Robot Chicken to me is like shooting with birdshot. In a gun, it's like you just shoot and hope that one of those things is going to hit a funny, you know.
They do it better than Family Guy does.
I don't necessarily know
because Family Guy tries to create a sense of story in it and just throws things at you like you're stupid.
Yeah,
Robot Chicken is at least like trying to come off as a variety kind of show.
Yeah, and no.
And it's like Saturday Night Live if it was extremely quick viral clips.
Yeah, so that's
they've done really good at that.
That's a good point too, because I mean, in a way, especially recently, Saturday Night Live is exactly the same way. You know, like just that buckshot of shooting and hopefully something's going to hit a funny.
Well,
you know,
I've watched endless Saturday Night Live lately, and a lot of them don't know how to actually end. They don't write endings for the script; they just end.
They really need to get. Yeah,
like there's no punchline.
They know what the time limit's supposed to be for their sketches because they know when the commercials are supposed to happen. You know, Robot Chicken built into the nice little niche spot where they knew they didn't have commercial breaks in a 15-minute show.
Yeah,
so they can determine the flow of their show and they can, you know, make sure the entirety of that show is accounted for when it comes to the peaks and valleys.
All right. Yeah. But regarding Robot Chicken, which I really love and enjoy, I think that when it comes to like sketches and like comedy and animated form, Brad Neely's Hard Gnarlin Scorpio PPO, I thought was the better of the two.
I think you said it right. It's Hog Gnarlin Scopio PPO. Anybody else want to jump in on that pronunciation?
I mean, I remember the show.
Talked about on that one, so
barely remember it.
It was also a very short-lived show, but it was nothing like China, Illinois. Oh my gosh! I still sing China, Illinois is the best at math.
China, Illinois is the best at math. China, Illinois is the best at math.
Oh my god! And when the dean, who was played by Hulk Hogan, goes up against what was it? It was the one from like the Catholic college or something like that when they would go head to head. Those were like the best parts of the show.
Yeah. What was the part where like that really impressive person just throws a basketball through a window.
Oh, that was when the ghost of the school. It was like the school is named after something, and the ghost of him comes up, and everybody's just like, "Wow, he's the coolest person ever!" And the professor's getting like really jealous of him, and he just like throws a basketball through a window, and somebody comes out. He's like, "It went in!"
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
Hey guys, it's me, Baby Cake. Let's all just have fun and enjoy the sunshine here at Java, Illinois.
Baby Cakes calls ghosts blueberries.
Come back here, my blueberry friend. No.
Oh man.
Yeah, Brad Neely. Brad Neely is funny.
I want to see him do another cartoon.
Question. Yeah. Who's better? Brad Neely, Brendan Small.
Brendan Small. I like Brendan Small better because I've been watching him since I was a kid.
Home Movies.
Like, yeah, Home Movies is brilliant.
Oh my, yeah.
You know what I just recently saw? Does everybody remember that weird show on Cartoon Network called Clarence?
Yes. Yes.
I tried to watch that and I couldn't get into it.
Brendan Small.
Blackjack. Those two shows are amazing for me.
Brendan Small runs a video store in the Clarence universe.
Yeah.
Like there's one episode of Clarence where they go and rent a movie and Brendan Small works at that store as like an adult.
That's nice. You know, he's probably still a Viacom employee, so I'm sure yeah. They can pull him into that. So.
Listen, there's I love Home Movies to death, and I grew up on it. At that time when we were not old enough to be watching Adult Swim, but we were watching Adult Swim, and the first thing that came on was Home Movies. At the
yes,
night.
And coach, who is now Bob
Coach
Berger.
McGurk.
Coach
yeah.
McGurk.
Yeah.
Then you actually finally are of age to watch Adult Swim, and Metalocalypse is a thing now, also done by Brendan Small, and he writes all the music for it. He sings, and like
they actually made sure that all the musical bits, like they actually animated the fingers on the instruments and the guitars to actually animate properly to the sound and not just mimic it.
Yeah.
Question: how do you guys feel about the fact that Metalocalypse has not been renewed? Despite the fact that there have been, fan donations towards the effect, fan petitions.
So here's the thing. I've been noticed, so I still watch Adult Swim and everything like that. The bumpers for Adult Swim has made mention of this, of the fact that fans want it back. And they always like make fun of the fact that fans want it back.
Right.
There's
right.
a big part
they
of
bring
me
it up, but
like
they bring it up with like a big middle there's, finger.
Yeah. No. But here's the thing. I feel like it's a playful middle finger because they're like doing this right now, but then they're gonna be like, "Hey, guess what, guys? Next year, final season of Metalocalypse is finally going to happen." Because considering
but,
the fact,
but
because,
how
listen,
long
listen,
has
listen.
This been happening for?
Because listen. Metal Death Clock did a show last year. They did a show at the Adult Swim Festival. That could be a hint of the fact that it could be coming back.
Okay. So the content's still supported and they're still putting it out as part of Adult Swim content.
So
you're saying that's better hope.
One of the things that they really need to accomplish though, because one of my issues with Metalocalypse is the fact that with the first two seasons being the 11-minute cuts for the episode, and then came season three and they turned into half hour episodes.
But then season four went back to the 11-minute aspect.
Yeah, the half hour episodes did not work as well. Like they really didn't. Like the comedy was too spread out, and the fact that they had to shove good jokes into 11 minutes made the punchlines even funnier because they could do so much more in 11 minutes instead of spread out over a whole story in a half hour.
Normally I would agree with you, but the thing is, my favorite episode is one of the half hour episodes, and that's the episode where they go to the doctors. And it's the episode where Murderface accidentally gets a hand job from the doctor.
I'm not gay. You're a gay doctor.
This is the greatest day ever.
Yes,
so,
Derek.
So I'm going to just counter Evan here and say what I actually loved about it was the fact that each of their episodes seemed to revolve around one of the songs that they're trying to base their Death Clock identity on.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're taking a 3-minute song and stretching it to 11 minutes, you know, that's still a lot of filler you're going to put in there. And that's where those jokes come in handy. But if you're trying to go beyond that whole, you know, every episode is one song kind of thing, you tend to just start to meander around and just start making jokes for the sake of making jokes. It's not necessarily all coming together.
Real quick, shout out to Bat Metal, because we're talking about Metalocalypse. If you guys have not seen a Bat Metal animation, you got to do yourself a favor. Just go to YouTube and search up Bat Metal. And it's these two animators who take Metalocalypse songs, Death Clock songs, and turn them into a Batman adventure. And they are just the silliest, like, I mean, absolute silliest things that are on YouTube.
They're very well animated, too. Very, very, very well animated. Another thing that...
But are they silly?
Another thing that I enjoyed about Metalocalypse, but then as soon as they got released on DVD, like, I didn't enjoy it as much, is in the first couple seasons, they used the censoring as a joke. Like, every time they said a curse word, it would be censored out by like an instrument twang.
Yeah.
And that was really funny. Like, the censoring itself was funny. And then they released the seasons uncensored, and you missed that little bit of humor of the actual curse words being censored by an instrument, because now they were actually just saying the curse words, and it was like, but it was way funnier when they were being censored by their own sound effects and stuff.
I like that, because, like, even if you watch the Jerry Springer Show, you hear them being bleeped out and your mind instantly starts wondering, what are they saying right now?
Yeah.
Well, I remember Jerry Springer said in an interview, like, half the words they bleep out aren't even curse words. He just does it just to make it sound funnier.
Oh, heck yeah.
Mystery
brings a lot of intrigue.
Even my very, you know, swear advocate friends agree with me that censor beeps are way funnier.
Well, yeah. I love it. What was in Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Aqua something, you know, whatever, and all the other titled shows. I liked when they would say a curse word, it wouldn't be just a regular bleep. They would actually use like a different sound effect. Like whenever like Master Shake, like,
oh, everything said a curse was kind word, of like personalized it would be like a fart to or the burp. Curse word. Like every curse word had its own specific sound.
Like when he would say shit, it would be a fart.
Although it was really funny how in Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters, they use the censor beep, but they put the censor beep sound underneath the actual swear. So yes.
So you could hear them curse, but they would still censor beep.
Yeah.
Do I know my favorite part of that movie? The fact that had Boston start to shut down as opposed to terrorist activities with their promotion scheme. Remember that?
Yes.
And everyone thought it was terrorists coming to get us, and I was like,
we were actually interviewing the creators of the show like a couple weeks after that happened with Nerdy Show. That's still a recording that you can go to nerdyshow.com and listen to.
You should post a link in the description. That's what the YouTubers say.
That was actually a fantastic interview. So funny. They are the people who, like, they are the cartoon that they make, those guys. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Best thing I love about them is the fact that they literally changed the entire name of their cartoon when they got to different seasons.
I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but there was one season, it's actually from this interview that that we did with them, is that there was one time that they wanted to name the show Aqua Tivo Avoidance Plan. But they couldn't do it because they used TiVo and it was a copywritten name.
Yeah, it's copywritten brand name.
So they couldn't do it.
They kept changing, like, their actual name every single season.
People had to keep resetting the recordings because it was a different show.
Because <Right. laughs> why? Yeah. You know who I hate? My followers.
Yeah.
the same thing actually happened with the show Mr. Pickles, because like the most recent season of Mr. Pickles, like after the season premiere, which wound up being the series finale, and went into the new show, Mama Named Me Sheriff. And you had to reset your DVR to actually record Mama Named Me Sheriff.
Hulu has My Name is Pickles. Does it have Mama Named Me Sheriff? I gotta look that one up. Because that would be interesting. Because if they have the rights to one show, they don't have the rights to the name of another show.
I also remember that this was a huge issue for when people were watching Young Justice. Because Young Justice season 1 and 2 were Young Justice, and then season 3 was called Young Justice Invasion. And everybody was freaking out because season 3 was no longer being recorded because it had the colon invasion after it. And it was marked as a completely different show.
Yeah, it was like with Justice League becoming Justice League Ultimate.
Unlimited, yeah.
Unlimited, yeah.
But those were two shows.
That's like when someone tries to change their company name to get around a lawsuit. Like, well, you can't sue me if I'm now under another name. Who's your mail going to?
Different LLC. Mother effer.
So, do we want to break into, because we're back at animation, we wanted to bring back a little thing that we enjoyed. I don't even know if the audience enjoys it, but we do. Yeah. Making an anime.
I don't enjoy it.
Audience, if we're happy, you're happy. Yeah. Deal with it.
Obey.
Let me tell you how you should feel.
All right. So, Evan, if you would. Why don't you pick
how many premise
genre.
Cards do I take again?
5 and pick 2? No. Yes?
We all
yes.
Got to. All right. So we have pet monsters, fan service, maids, samurai, and Chinese fantasy.
Huh. I kind of like the idea of running with the pet monsters one.
Mm-hmm.
But what would that be mixed with?
So if
fan service, because I just joined Fur Affinity, so let's do it.
Well, this actually, if you go with pet monsters and fan service, this actually kind of reminds me of The Familiar of Zero, which, you know, is about familiars as opposed to what people would think about, which would be Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So. All right, well, let's so is that what we want to go with? Pet monsters fan service, or do we...
not at all.
Pet monster samurai.
Pet like monsters who are made Chinese fantasy with pet monsters, which is technically the Chinese version of Pokemon, I guess.
So it sounds like that we do want to do, you know, actually that would be really funny if it was Chinese fantasy, then we could actually make a show that is a Chinese ripoff of Pokemon.
I'm pretty sure they already have that.
Nobody jumped at that idea. So, all right, scratch that one. Mm-hmm.
So pet monsters and maids, that would probably be Nekopara.
Yeah, and fan service and samurai is samurai girls. That's already been made.
Mm-hmm. Fan service and maids, that's every fucking anime ever about.
I don't know. I think that we should take a shot at like maid pet monsters. Or what was that the one? Or was it pet monsters and fan service that we were thinking of?
Pet monsters and fan service, I think we were probably thinking of, although I think Andrew shot that down.
Bro, I don't even know.
All right, list out the secondary categories again.
So the premise, so it's pet monsters, maids, fan service, samurai, and Chinese fantasy.
All right, fan service samurai. What if the samurai are so set into the Bushido code, but then they get hired by people that are like, oh my god, so can you just like go out there and just like splash everyone up for me?
Going on from loop on the third would be just like another useless object cut with my
blade. My god, it's another samurai! Oh!
I'm typing in the...
I'm going a little lumpy space princess here.
I'm putting out the words that we have right now for our title, which is as followed: Magical Girl, Quest, Miku, Pocket, Lancer, Stardust, Creamy.
Creamy Pocket.
Ew. Going forward, I think we should record all of our losers that we don't pick, put them into a special category that we call wild card, and if we get a bad drawing, we can just all agree and be like, wild card, and we just go take one out of that.
That's true. That's true. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
What does Miku mean in Japanese again?
That's just a person's name.
I could have sworn it meant something, though.
You could be thinking of Niku, which is meat.
No, I know that, but like...
Nope, Japanese given name.
Oh, so we can literally just make a show about Miku?
Yep.
Is that what they...
That's right.
Because isn't Miku an open source character, so everybody's like allowed to use her however they want?
No, it's Miku's just a name. It's not...
Yeah, like that would be like saying...
It's the Vocaloid software that anybody can use.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I understand that it's just a name, but I'm saying there's an established character that's very popular called Miku, so having Miku in the list only leads to one thing. Because there's... how many other names are in that list for Channel A?
Okay, so I know there are a lot of shared names, but do you remember the movie Pocahontas?
Yes.
Who's the main character's name, the male lead?
John Smith.
Yeah, you're not allowed to use that?
Well, I thought you were actually going to talk about the raccoon, because isn't the raccoon's name Miku?
I'm just talking about shared names, where you're talking about if we're allowed to use shared names.
Yeah.
Like, John and I can both attest to this one specifically. If Christine wasn't in the picture, we could be John Smith right now. No.
Nobody thinks of us first. They always think of Pocahontas.
I'm 170-something% Seminole, so maybe I got Pocahontas in me.
My idea is to make a show called Pocket Lancer Miku, and the show, instead of having the show be about people who have monsters, it's from the point of view of the monster that is owned by somebody. And the monster's name is Miku, and it's the monster's perspective of what they're thinking when they're made to fight from their master.
Just as a frame of reference for all the Disney fans that are screaming at me right now, the raccoon's name is Miko.
Pocahontas was on Freeform yesterday, so I had just watched it. And so that's my idea, anyways.
So what was your...
Pocket Lancer... Miku. It's about a monster. The show is from the perspective of a captured monster and what the monster's thought process is on being a captured monster made to fight for.
So is it a pet monster Chinese fantasy? Is it fan service, samurai, or maids?
I suppose that like the only thing that really fits into it would be like fan service or something like that, because I feel like that it would be fan service only for the fact that I would want the show to be so absurd that it would just automatically have fan service in it. Like that's kind of the approach that I have to it.
Okay.
Creamy Magical Girl Stardust.
Yep.
Now available at Good Vibrations.
It's such a good vibration.
Talk about get my paycheck.
That's like not even the next line, Derek.
Well, we remember, I'm still talking about good vibrations, so
you're just the bass player. You're just the bass player. Sit down.
I will, because I'm tired.
That's like, I feel like that's a murder face line.
So dumb.
Yeah, I will.
Because I'm tired.
I will sit down because I'm tired.
Yeah, you're going over to murder fate.
Yeah, your school's office does, man.
Don't talk about me. I'm sitting down.
Don't please. Sit down, murder fate. Just me keeping things
going. And
I love
that mommy loves me tattoo, or mother loves me.
His tattoo actually changes. Like every episode, it says something different on his stomach every single time.
I didn't notice that. No. Okay. I'm going to rewatch.
So, yeah, the first episode, it says, "This mess is a place."
Maybe so, did I? Faces. I hate them so much more now.
Did I win this challenge because I'm the only one who came up with a concept?
Yep.
You might have.
Yep. I still had a good time. How about you?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
John Smith.
They can't all be winners.
No. I think we learned that the last time we tried playing JLA.
Hey, listen, at least it was a short segment this time, so everybody can just bear with us for a minute or so, and then and then we can move on to other things.
Before we go on, I love the fact that this Google chat captions actually picked up Evan correctly when he said, you know, channel A, and then at the last second changed it to JLA.
Like the Japanese airlines?
Like, wait, there's no reason he should be talking about channel A. He obviously meant this.
He obviously meant,
I heard it the first time.
But, he obviously meant Japanese airlines.
Justice League of America, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of JAL.
Okay, so what's next? If anybody hasn't noticed, this is like the most freeform we've ever been with our podcast. So
I did have one question I posed earlier.
You did,
yeah, and I was willing to answer it, and it was the cameo.
Yeah. So just restate the question. Restate the question. I know what it is, but for the audience,
basically, any animated series, what is your favorite surprise cameo that you've had come into that series?
So I'll actually get mine right out of the way right off the bat, because mine actually is the Marilyn Manson cameo from Clone High. I talk about Clone High a lot to people, especially, I mean, like I teach animation. So like I talk about it a lot with people. And anytime that I want to prove to them how awesome Clone High is, I show them the Marilyn Manson singing the Food Pyramid song clip. It is just like it not only stands to how great of a show Clone High is, but how great of a personality Marilyn Manson is. And like just his willingness to go into this show with his Marilyn Manson persona and yet sing a child song about the food pyramid is just utterly fantastic writing and celebrity participation on the part of Marilyn Manson. So everybody look that up. Marilyn Manson, the food pyramid song, Clone High.
You see, that's my pick too. Like, I stand by Marilyn Manson singing the food pyramid song as one of the funniest moments in TV history.
Yeah.
Like, just in general. Like, I don't think, like, when that first came up, when I was watching it on MTV back in the day, I remember I was on the floor laughing my ass off, like, unlike anything I had ever experienced watching. Like, at first I thought, well, maybe this is because Andy Dick used to do like a great impersonation of Marilyn Manson on his Andy Dick show, and I noticed that he was a cast member. He played the sheep professor on that series. So I thought, okay, this has got to be Andy Dick, but this is still funny as hell. And then you see in the cast listing Marilyn Manson as himself, you're like, this just brought that whole segment to like 200% hilarity in a way that I never experienced.
Absolutely.
So, I want to leave Derek for last because Derek was the one who posed the question. So I'm guessing he has his own answer. I'm to break away from the Marilyn Manson and Clone High one. I just want to make a mention that Andrew WK was on Uncle Grandpa. For an entire episode. And that was pretty awesome. Like, Andrew WK played Andrew WK on Uncle Grandpa selling his like party something. Like, that was the basis of the whole episode. So I really enjoy when Andrew WK shows up in animation because he likes cartoons and he likes the animated world. So he actually pops up in a couple places, I believe. Mostly on Cartoon Network shows because he was around for Destroy, Build, Destroy. Mm-hmm. So he popped in and out of different voice castings, but that was like the first thing that came to my mind was I was just like, I have to see that episode of Uncle Grandpa because Andrew WK's on it.
Yeah.
All right. So Andrew, appreciate the nice little setup there. I want to start off by saying the actor and seeing if you can guess the animated show that I'm talking about.
All right.
My favorite surprise cameo has been George Clooney.
Yes, I actually
know. I know what you're talking about.
I know exactly which one you're talking about already.
Do you want us to say it? Yeah, I want you.
Everybody.
Recognition here.
Yeah. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
South Park.
Yeah.
Barking the Dog. The way they bring it up in the initial credits, being like, oh, it's Sparky the Dog, played by George Clooney.
Yeah.
Like, what? And then you just hear Sparky having lines like, rough and rough.
Yeah.
And fucking other male dogs.
And then you realize that.
The fact that, actually, yeah, that was George Clooney who was doing that, and we're really not sure why, but apparently that all happened, and so, that is go ahead.
So actually, so one other thing too about George Clooney and his relationship with Trey Matt is that, so they did that movie Team America World Police, which just made fun of every celebrity, one of whom was George Clooney. George Clooney was mad at Trey and Matt, not because of his portrayal, but because he wasn't asked to play himself.
Yeah.
But Didn't that episode actually come out before Team America?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It did. Yeah. That was so 97, why, the South Park
so,
episode.
So why did... Okay, so you're saying those two situations didn't necessarily relate with each other.
No, like no. It was more of... I bet you, like, Trey Matt thought, like, George Clooney wouldn't want to do it. But then turns out that George Clooney sees the movie and be like, why didn't they ask me to take part?
George Clooney literally played a gay dog for them. Why didn't they think he would play himself?
So here's my look on it is that it's not that they didn't ask him to, or they didn't think to ask him to. It's probably because he would have been way too expensive just to play that one part.
Right.
Like, George Clooney is like, especially back then, was even more way at the top of his game for what he was doing.
He was doing oceans.
Whereas especially back in the day of when they actually wrote the Sparky the Dog episode, they were they were coming over like way over predictions for money and stuff.
Probably the biggest thing that George Clooney did.
They could just like give one solid payout to one celebrity guest and be done with it.
So probably the biggest thing George Clooney did before he did Sparky the Gay Dog, besides ER, was the movie From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This is before he did like the Peacemaker and Ocean's 11 and
but Sparky
Batman and Robin.
Sparky had a lot more hold with me.
Yeah. Oh no, for sure. Like, cause I'm 100% with you. When you find out that the dog is just George Clooney making dog sounds, like it's just like that was a celebrity appearance, and really kind of changed the face of what a celebrity appearance on a show could be, because. Like, sure, he was giving his voice, but he didn't actually say anything for it to be like, that was George Clooney.
Yeah, it's the same as if you look at Vin Diesel right now as Groot. Are you giving him credit for that role? Or is it the fact that it's Vin Diesel that gives that role? Like,
he also... Flat? He also acted, though, as Groot. He was actually in the theater on stages on stilts wearing, you know, mocap suits and stuff like that. I would argue for Vin Diesel, if you want to talk about something where he didn't deliver much at all, but was his best performance ever, the Iron Giant. Yeah. Like, he was the Iron Giant. And, like, he barely said anything in that movie.
I didn't know that one.
And he just makes you cry. Like, you stay, I'll go, no follow. He's like,
That actually, that makes sense when you get the whole Iron Giant vibe with the whole We Are Groot vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same
Where,
you know, you get this one communication where it's like, okay, they obviously are very literate or can't speak very eloquently.
I want to
once they do like shift from what they normally say, and you know, it just feels even more.
Yeah.
I also want to point out another celebrity, and like he's got like the most distinctive voice out there. So Gilbert Gottfried, in one episode.
Where are we going
with
this?
You know his voice. You come hear it. It's like, oh, that's Gilbert Gottfried.
Come on,
But in episode 2 of the Clerks cartoon, he voiced Jerry Seinfeld, and it exactly sounded like Jerry Seinfeld. But then in episode 3, he came in as Patrick Swayze, and it went back to Gilbert Gottfried.
It just feels like one comedian imitating another comedian is... I'm not sure. It's like, okay, yes, you're creating, you know, Seinfeld was a, you know, home fixture for so long, but, you know, it was a product created by one comedian. So when another comedian comes along and tries to do the exact same thing, it's not like you're parodying something. It's more like you're copying something at that point. You know, I'm not sure. Maybe go ahead.
So that's an interesting question to pose then is what celebrity did a part that you didn't even know it was them doing it? Because that's kind of the same along the lines of the same thing with George Clooney, where they're not playing themselves. They're playing a character. Right, and that's where I was
getting along with like Sparky the Dog and Gru, like with Vin Diesel. It's like, okay, you have no idea it's these people. Surprise.
Because there's a couple of those I can find.
Well, I mean, the one that always comes to mind is Michael J. Fox as the kidney, you know, in Clone High, because he literally just says, "I miss him," and then that was his that was his guest spot in the whole episode. But
Zach Braff is Paul Revere. too late. Gundy is ADD. You get it from toilet seats.
I'm trying to think of one. I'm actually scrolling through a list right now that, like, I'm looking for some interesting names as celebrities. There were a lot of famous people who were in Captain Planet. Like,
oh yeah, Meg Ryan.
A lot of times you can find people who have like reached their prime after the cameo that you're looking at.
Yeah.
Happen to be in an animated show, and then all of a sudden they hit, you know, primetime fame and go on the silver screen and, you know.
And Jeff, get them while they're super cheap.
I didn't know this one. Jeff Goldblum was Verminius Scum in Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah.
What?
What series of Captain Planet?
It just 90s. Says Captain Planet, in the 80s version.
Because Jeff Goldblum was already in The Fly at that point.
Like, yeah, right?
Before no Jurassic Park.
Okay,
yeah.
Surprises me. Okay.
Transylvania 65,000 too.
Ragnarok. Hey!
When was J.K. Simmons the yellow M&M?
He's always been the yellow M&M, actually.
No shit.
Are you serious?
Whoa, he's still really? The yellow M&M.
I can see that. Oh, man.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still.
No wonder
is.
He's a billionaire. Wow. I did not know that.
Billy West is the red
that
M&M.
I knew.
But J.K. Simmons obvious. Has always been the yellow M&M. Ever since the 90s, he's been the yellow M&M.
And J. Jonas Jameson. I absolutely love that the Marvel Universe brought him back.
Oh, for sure.
That was the one thing out of the original trilogy you can salvage, aside from Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus, because I'm still going to argue that was a really great villain.
While I'm not the biggest fan of this show, I was at the time a really just big fan of this concept, in the same way as the Marilyn Manson thing, when Chris Kirkpatrick was in the Fairly Odd Parents as like the shiny teeth and me thing.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Jay Leno as the Crimson Chin, I think it was one of my favorite part of Fairly Odd Parents when he would show up.
Okay. Oh, man. So I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, okay.
Jay Leno was the Crimson Chin.
Wow, we're learning so many things.
But do you don't remember the flashback episode where it shows how Crimson Chin gets his powers? He's literally a talk show host that gets bit in the chin.
Jeez.
Well, and now that makes sense because everybody's always made fun of the size of Jay Leno's chin. So,
yeah.
Is there the crimson hair where it talks about the O'Brien family? Actually, this is kind of interesting. Does anyone out there who knows more about what we don't know? Because apparently we don't know a lot.
This would be a great conversation.
Send it our way.
Yeah. You can do that in the Discord. Like if it just like in one of the topics.
Yeah. Flood the Discord with just like, here's a celebrity guest voice. Man, that J.K. Simmons thing blew my mind.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp was in SpongeBob at one time.
Oh, yeah. He was in an episode of that. So was David Bowie.
Crazy.
Bowie played King Neptune, I believe.
He did?
Yeah, I believe David Bowie played King Neptune.
I feel like he would be willing and ready to play King Neptune. Yes, I'm ready. I command over all the life in the sea. What's next?
So the character he played wasn't King Neptune, it was Lord Royal Highness.
Okay.
All right, ruin my joke. Thank you.
That's not a character I'm familiar with. That's past my years of SpongeBob, I guess.
Yeah, it was back in 2007.
It was most likely not as absorbent. Sponge joke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, all right, Greg. You can
it's
cut
funny,
that out
Derek.
All right.
In the past, let's say 5 years, what's your favorite animated series or movie, and why?
One of the shows that I watched recently that I thoroughly enjoyed, and watched all the way through, and then I stopped enjoying it, but then I kept watching it to get it to the end, and then I finished it, and the ending was only okay. But I still enjoyed the show overall, was BoJack Horseman.
Mm.
Will I say that was my favorite animation in the past 5 years? Absolutely not. Was it a good one? Yes. There have definitely been better animated shows. Unfortunately, Thundercats 2011 is like outside of the scope of past 5 years, but.
Okay, well, on that note, do we want to talk about like stuff that's been created in the past 5 years or stuff we've watched in the last 5 years?
I guess that's a fair assessment. Mine yeah. would probably have to be something like Gravity Falls, I guess.
Gravity Falls is a great choice.
Yeah.
Star versus the Forces of Evil too, I think.
That was a good show. Choice. That was a really good show. I really enjoyed that show a lot.
See, here's my problem with this question, and it's not a bad question at all, Derek, don't get me wrong, but my problem with this question, the hard part that I have about this question is that I feel like animation in quality has really, especially like kids cartoons, well, and definitely adult cartoons, has completely diminished over the years. And
I feel like every market kind of tries to feel like what's working best towards them, and they're accentuating one yeah. sort of aspect of the animation while sacrificing mm-hmm. the rest.
It's almost like animated TV,
Western and Eastern at the same time.
Yeah, it's like animated TV is trying to emulate, like it's like an alien is watching cartoons and is trying to emulate those cartoons that they watched, and that is what animated TV right now looks like, and it's all very samey. Like for instance, Christine and I, because we have Disney Plus, we started watching Big City Greens on Disney Plus, and it's actually a really funny show. But I really don't think that anybody would ever take the time to just sit and watch it if they did, because it just feels so samey, you know?
Well, and it's yeah. well, I mean, we have a huge issue within the adult animation realm where everything is trying to emulate Family Guy, which is why Bob's Burgers is so refreshing.
Yeah.
Because Bob's Burgers is new. The comedy style is different. It's not like a bumbling idiot thing going on, but because then you have shows like, oh well, we have Family Guy, let's make a show like Paradise PD that looks exactly like that, and the jokes are even worse, you know. And
yeah, literally, Fox is still sitting.
I think one of the
things, we'll be a Family Guy, let's make the Cleveland Show and American Dad too. Which honestly, I like American Dad a lot more than I like Family Guy, but that's another conversation.
So yeah,
it's weird because like I used to really like Family Guy, and American Dad was just okay. But when the quality of Family Guy was going downhill, the quality of American Dad was like skyrocketing.
Yeah. Like, interesting.
Well, more there. But going off yeah. of what you were saying about Bob's Burgers, I think what makes Bob's Burgers work so well is it's a scripted comedy, but the dynamics of the characters makes it feel more like a Curb Your Enthusiasm style of humor, where like every person is just like riffing off of one each other. Yeah. And it just sounds more natural when like Bob and Gene and all the other characters are talking to one another. Whereas with Family Guy, everything just feels kind of stiff and like, you know, flatlined.
They're not having fun with it anymore.
Family right. Guy is more of like forced and almost scientific in the way that they pace their jokes.
Like
it almost seems like you are ready for their, you know, cutoff. Mm-hmm.
They created a formula that's gone stale long ago.
Well, right. Well, Seth MacFarlane admitted that he stopped caring about Family Guy back in like season
four.
Before even season 10 came, before they even got into double digits, like he stopped caring about Family Guy.
Yeah, which makes sense as to why they started to go to the Cleveland Show, which failed horrifically.
I thought I had heard
American Dad, which was okay. I like it, but you know, ratings wise hasn't been the same. Go ahead.
I feel like I thought I had heard a thing that that Seth MacFarlane actually wanted Family Guy to stop, but the network said no, it makes us too much money.
Yeah,
and that's why it's still yeah. around.
I heard the opposite. Didn't they get canceled multiple times?
Right. But then when they brought it back, it was like one of the big things that Seth MacFarlane regretted. It was like, oh, crap. This is just another Simpsons. It's just going to go on until we're all dead. And it's still going to go on.
What you're saying is Dave Chappelle has more honor than Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, well,
well, here's the thing.
You know what I'm referencing there.
Here's the thing, because I feel like Seth MacFarlane's putting more of his heart and his good ideas into the Orville now.
Yeah, right. Well,
because that's like his big passion project.
There was like the good, the bad, and the backs and the bad box offering. You know, whatever his movie was called.
Oh yeah, The Thousand Ways to Die in the West.
There we go. Yeah.
Which I liked. I enjoyed that movie.
I forgot what it was called, but
that was a tax write-off.
That literally caused him more red than black.
The other day I saw my grandfather watching that movie and I was like, why are you watching this?
Grandson, I like it. It's funny.
I still have yet to watch it. And even before it was released, I still don't know why it is that I was supposed to go watch it, other than the fact that it was Seth MacFarlane. Like, I've yet to hear anything about it, other than the fact it came out, it bombed, no one likes it. No one will even mention anything about it besides that it's Western.
Yeah, going off of like the adult style, the humor and such, because I like a show that I've been watching a lot lately is the cartoon from Bill Burr, which is F is for Family, and like you can kind of see that there are a tiny bit of aspects of like Family Guy in F is for Family, but I like that Bill Burr just goes to the extreme when it comes to like some of the more fucked up humor sort of things. Dude.
Bill Burr is one of my favorite staff members on the Chappelle Show. That was the first time I ever had exposure to him.
Yeah, he's not afraid of anything, that guy.
Yeah, and that's why I like F is for Family. It's like, this show is fearless, gives no fucks, but still is hilarious and on point with what they want to talk about.
Yeah. So I do think that we should wrap up pretty soon, and I feel like that was a great conversation.
Well, the conversation went full circle. Like we jumped from network to network.
Live action. Yeah.
But it is pretty interesting because we talked about it did come full circle because we started the show with TV shows that were great canceled and might be coming back to TV shows that are still on TV and should not be ever. So I feel like this is a great place to end it. And I think that's a happy little story right there.
What is the greatest cartoon ever made?
Walk Fu.
Thundercats.
Betty Boop.
Teen Titans.
All good answers. I don't know about Betty Boop all that much. I've seen like one episode.
Yeah, it's you'd have to ask your grandfather that. He had feelings towards her, if you know what I mean.
First waifu.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
Betty Boop was the first waifu.
Yeah, that was her purpose.
Yeah, cool. All right, everybody. Well, if you want to watch, if you want to join our conversation for Wicked Anime, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You, of course, can find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we are posting all of our news and all of our podcasts and all of our information everywhere. Plus, you can find that sweet invitation link to our Discord, where you can have full-on conversations with us on Discord because, you know, I work from home, so I can always answer any kind of questions that you have on the Discord. Cool. Hey, Andrew, what do you do from home? Well, I am currently AFLM Art. I am an independent artist working on my current life's work of Solarian Sun. That's my webcomic, solariansun.com. Currently, we are up to chapter 3 on the free stuff, which is pretty cool. So that's 3 free chapters plus the start of chapter 3. That's 0, 1, 2, 3. And then, of course, you can subscribe over on Patreon at patreon.com/AFLM to get even more pages where we aren't just up to chapter 3. We're up to chapter 5. Wow. That's a lot of content. So head over to patreon.com/AFLM if you want to subscribe, and solariansun.com if you want to read a free webcomic that I am creating. Cool. Evan, what do you got?
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you are in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on the J-Pop Video Games and Anime Amino pages, and on Twitch at kingbaby.esh. And you can like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. And b3crew.tumblr.com. Yes, I still use Tumblr, even though I probably should not be using Tumblr anymore, because who the hell uses Tumblr these days? Probably no one, except for me, apparently. Jesus Christ, I should probably give up Tumblr right now. But also give a really big shout out to Black Compat. Please check them out on twitch.tv/Black Compat. Every other Sunday, they talk about some great issues regarding, you know, representation in entertainment, as well as just some fun pop culture chats. I can't read that, Derek. It's too backwardsy.
If you know ASL something,
then you know. I knew what you were hand signaling. Derek, do you want
it? Hold on. Ball. Yep.
Bolstein.
It's your turn. It's your turn, Derek.
Yeah, hey, so obviously you guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Elite4Derek. We'll see if I respond. otherwise, you can find me basically taking one of the Lego Marvel games and trying to see if 100% completion is actually a thing. So basically, I hate myself, but that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Did you look up that Lego Underground game I was talking about?
Yes. Undercover? Yeah, I actually did look into that, and I honestly do like that, but I just finished Lego Marvel Superheroes 1 and just started Lego Marvel Superheroes 2 because it takes upon a lot of the same things that I just finished doing and actually polishes it a little bit more, so trying that now. So I'm almost around 20% there now, but But yeah, Underground is
Undercover.
It?
Is it
Undercover? Yes. Yep. It's basically like
Lego City Undercover is what it's called.
Yeah.
Yep. Basically like a reverse GTA where you're the cop in a free roaming place, and I keep hearing really great reviews about that. It's constantly ranked towards the top. So once I finish this one, which you know, once I finish the first in a series, I got to look at the second one in the series. And then once I finish with that, then maybe I'll look at the third. You know? So, yeah, that's definitely going to be the one I'm looking at next up.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will catch you next recording when we talk about I have no idea what, because we just kind of went through all of our extra topics. Maybe you guys can tell us which one of the extra topics that you like the best, and then we can revisit one of them, because I mean, we could literally talk about video games or music or whatever for episodes on end. So,
and I don't know, I mean, the summer anime season is on its way. We could always talk about that, but if you want to hear us talk about other things other than anime, we're always open to that.
Can I say that it's ironic we did an animation section and didn't talk about anything that's currently being animated?
Heck yeah.
Right now? Sorry, guys. Spoiler alert. You just listened
to all right. As to which, we didn't talk about Brand New Animal on Netflix, but that's fine. We can save that for any time.
Yeah, anytime. Because let's wait for me to watch it, which will be never. But that's not true.
You can watch it. The dub is excellent. So
the dub is really good. Yeah,
yeah. I don't like dubs, so
it's really good though.
Is it an anime from the 90s? No, then I'm not watching the dub.
I miss the stiff acting.
I'm trying to end the show here.
Back in my day, people smoked dubs.
Back in my day, they didn't know how to end the show, so this is how we do it.
Oh my goodness. I just want the show to be over, please. It's dinner time, you know.
My friends.
Get to eat some quinoa pasta, that's right. Like, isn't quinoa
something.
Yeah, it is.
Quinoa sounds like something a hipster would make up just so he sounds more pretentious.
Kind of does.
But it's a super quinoa. Oh, yeah, quinoa. With a side of focaccia.
What's
focaccia?
Yeah, what's that? What's
it's a kind of cheese.
I don't think you would have quinoa with cheese. It's not that great.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.